Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet into Words.
I came here to study.
To work.
To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet into Words.
Esto es Con los pies en dos mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet into Worlds.
Mexicans are one of the fastest growing immigrant groups in New York City. And Mexican young people, they have the highest dropout rate of any group in the New York City public schools.
This population is the future of our city and the future of our country. If they don't get an education, then what's the outcome for everyone, for the whole of society?
I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. On this podcast, the high dropout rate among Mexican students in New York City public schools and efforts to reverse the trend. With me in the studio are Feet in Two Worlds contributors Angela Sharp and Mika Schofield. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hello.
Mika, what is the dropout rate for Mexican students in New York City public schools, and how does it compare to the general student body and to other groups?
Well, a report that came out this past March from the Community Services Society states that just 37% of Mexicans in New York, ages 16 to 24, are enrolled in school.
Only 37%?
Mm-hmm. And only 31% of which are males. Foreign-born Mexicans have a particularly high dropout rate, with 25% dropping out compared to 14% of native-born Latinos.
Those are Latinos who were born in the U.S.
That's correct. And that's compared to 12% of blacks that drop out, 8% of whites, and 6% of Asians.
And what are the main reasons for this high dropout rate, Angela?
Much of the disparity between Mexicans and other groups may be explained by immigration. Mexicans are more likely than other Latino groups to have been born outside of the U.S., and many of those undocumented Mexicans face the possibility of dropping out due to a lack of knowledge about what their options are after post-graduation. And although they are eligible to apply for college in New York State, undocumented Mexicans are barred from federal financial aid, and they may in turn assume that their goals of going to college are unreachable.
Now, you recently spoke to Susana, a 19-year-old undocumented Mexican student who almost dropped out of her high school in Queens. Let's listen to what she had to say.
In high school, I had a 90 average, and I was really happy about going to college. I want to be a chef, just like my dad. So I began thinking about going to different colleges. But a semester before I actually applied for college, I was told by many other people that I could not go to college. I just didn't care about studying anymore. And my average, it went down dramatically. Not even my guidance counselor thought I was going to graduate and actually go to college.
Another big factor is poverty, which contributes to the high Mexican dropout rates. In spite of the high employment rates, there's predominantly low-wage jobs that they are finding, and it doesn't yield enough income for these young Mexican families. About 79% of all Mexicans under the age of 16 in New York City live in low-income households. In addition to this factor, also the English language proficiency contributes to the dropout rate. And 36% of Mexicans have challenges speaking English, and 14% do not speak English at all.
They don't speak any English.
No.
So what's being done in the schools to address this problem?
In some schools, there is a lack of experience with this demographic and not a clear understanding for what kinds of services these students need, as well as how to best engage their parents. Susanna, for example, said that in her school she got mixed messages about her chances of going to college.
And one of my teachers came up to me and said, "What are you talking about? A lot of undocumented people are in college." And I told him, "What are you talking about? I just got told, well, I'm not going to go to college. They don't take immigrant people." He said, "Go apply for college."
Mika, why is the opportunity to go to college such an important incentive to keep Mexican youth from dropping out of high school?
Yeah, well, as in Susana's story, she gave up on her studies when she thought there was no future ahead of her. But when she learned that she had the opportunity to attend college, her focus shifted and she started making plans for her future.
In addition, some teachers have collaborated with community-based organizations to encourage and support Mexican students to stay in school.
So tell us about some of those organizations and those programs.
Okay. Well, one organization, Mixteca, based in Brooklyn, provides education classes for Mexican and Latino immigrant children and adults. The organization has a very effective parent engagement program, including Mexican history classes for children that may better connect Mexican youth with immigrant parents. Another group, the YLC, or New York State Youth Leadership Council, provides a variety of programs for immigrant youth, focused on Mexican students in particular. We also spoke with Jacqueline Cinto, a youth services coordinator at YLC. She is in charge of running the mentoring program that reaches out to immigrant youth and connects them with tools to continue their education post-high school.
Let's hear what she had to say.
So in 2011, we noticed that despite the fact that we were going to schools and doing all these workshops, there was still that gap in terms of providing one-on-one support to undocumented youth. That's when we came up with the idea of creating a mentoring program that was very unique in its way, just because we were partnering up undocumented high school youth with undocumented college graduates or college-bound students.
You mentioned earlier that the dropout rate is especially high for Mexican young people who were born in Mexico. Is the Mexican educational system partly responsible here?
Okay, well, we spoke with Alejandra Delano, chair of the Global Studies Department and professor at the New School. Delano is originally from Mexico City. She acknowledges the poor state of the education system in Mexico as one source of the issues experienced by Mexican students living in New York.
I see a lot of issues that happen in Mexico as well in terms of access to education and the level of education that people have, but I think it's exacerbated in the U.S. context because of other vulnerabilities that immigrants face and because of the different expectations that exist here.
Are there strategies that have been successful in reversing the dropout rate among Mexican students, Angela?
Well, John, students and educators invested in the Mexican and undocumented student populations have increasingly emphasized the need for dream teams.
What are dream teams?
Dream teams are basically safe spaces created for undocumented students and their allies to support and facilitate a friendly learning environment for undocumented students. Currently, there's a campaign to get the New York Dream Act passed that would allow undocumented students who meet the in-state tuition requirements to access this financial aid in order to fund their higher education. But for the time being, undocumented students must rely on private funds to pay for college.
So there are initiatives that are targeting the learning environment, and there are initiatives that are looking at the financing of higher education for Mexican students. What else?
Correct. Well, for example, when we spoke with Professor Delano, she was telling us that she is part of an initiative called the Dream Act Faculty Alliance, comprised of professors in the New York area. And their goal, John, is to work with the students to think of creative solutions to help the youth reach their educational goals. The professors provide one-on-one mentoring to the students to aid them in the process of completing school and deciding what to do post-graduation.
And then you can also say, well, you're going to go to graduate school, or you're going to go take this job, or you can insert yourself in this sort of professional world. And what do you tell an undocumented student when you know that their access to job opportunities that are in line with the skills that they've learned in college aren't always available to them? The challenge there is to recognize that and to be able to work with them to be creative as well, to think about other alternative options that are out there.
After graduation, what are the job opportunities that are available to these students, Mika?
So Jacqueline Cinto, who we heard from earlier in the podcast, the Youth Services Coordinator at YLC, received her bachelor's in bilingual education and a master's in a TESOL program.
Which is English as a second language.
That's correct. But Jacqueline is still undocumented and unable to find a job in the field that she studied. And so she's often asked by the students she mentors why they should continue with their education if they're going to find themselves in the same place she is.
And what does she tell them?
She explains that there are options abroad, for instance, where currently she has mentees who received full scholarships to study and work in Europe. And she explains what she is doing to try and use her degrees.
To use her own degrees.
Nobody's going to take away your education, right? Nobody's going to take away your degree, the knowledge and skills that you acquire. And maybe you can't work at the moment, but you can definitely become an independent woman, an independent man with different set of skills that you can apply here or anywhere else. I've been granted deferred action, and I was hoping that with deferred action I was going to be able to teach in public schools. However, I found out that even to get the certification from the city and the state, you need to be a citizen or a legal permanent resident. So even with deferred action, there's limited work opportunities that I have. So I've not been able to put in practice my degree yet. I'm still babysitting, tutoring on the side, and I am working with my mentor, with my college advisor, trying to figure out a way to get through the education system to be able to teach.
It sounds as though being undocumented is really at the heart of the problem for Jacqueline Cinto and other Mexican young people who want to get ahead. Do you get the sense that the educational challenges faced by Mexican youth in New York can be solved without some type of immigration reform? In other words, something that would allow these kids to live in the U.S. legally?
Well, it's about having that knowledge and knowing what are your rights. Even if, for example, the paperwork isn't all correct, everyone has rights. Yet some families just are unaware that there are possibilities out there. So the immigration reform, obviously that's the base. But from there, as we've heard in these stories through this podcast, that a lot of students are finding opportunities, but there are also students for that percentage that are in the know, there's probably a huge percentage that are not in the know. And that's our main goal, is to have that information out there so there are other students that can tell, that'll know what to do. For example, Susanna at the beginning of the podcast, she actually was telling us a story about she works informally as a mentor when she meets her friends and she tells them, hey, you know, you can go to college or you can pursue this. And her friends might not know. So just that passing on that knowledge, I think, is very key.
And Susanna, is she in college now?
Yes, actually, she just finished her second semester in culinary arts degree at Kingsborough College.
Angela Sharp and Mika Schofield, thank you both very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, John, for having us.
Thank you, John.
Mika Schofield and Angela Sharp did the reporting for this story as part of the Feet in Two Worlds journalism course at the New School. Our producers are Jocelyn Gonzalez and Von Diaz. The engineer is Chad Bernhardt at the studios of the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, the Ralph E. Ogden Foundation, and listeners and readers like you. Join our growing group of supporters. Go to our website, fi2w.org, and click on the support tab in the upper right-hand corner. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds, supporting immigrant journalists and bringing their stories to the rest of America. We're a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.